We're going to read from verse 25 through to 34. The book of Matthew 25 from Matthew chapter 6, sorry, from verse 25 right through to 34.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Going through the scripture in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25 to 34 that we just read now, Jesus was talking basically to you and I about time management in our daily task. When we're talking about time management in our daily task, our daily task can lead to either anxiety or depression. Anxiety and depression are opposite sides of the emotion of fear. Now, when we're clinging on, when you cling on to events of the past, or you dwell on what happened a long time ago in your now, there's a possibility you might catch on to depression. When you feel worried, you feel nervous, you feel uneasy right now about something that will happen in the future, or probably you're not certain about the outcome of an event in the future, there's every likelihood you will suffer the emotion of anxiety. You see, today, this present moment that we are in, we are a generation that has very busy people, right? From the moment we wake up right through to the time we go to sleep, inclusive of when we're sleeping, we're busy in our minds. And when we're talking about being busy, when we're talking about the task that we get involved in every day, there are two categories of tasks that we get involved with. There are the important task, and there are also the urgent task. So for every one of us, we have things that are important that we deal with every day, and we have things that are urgent that we deal with every day. Now, when we're talking about important task, we're talking about tasks that contribute to your own personal achievement or achievement of a long-term goal, either at a professional level or at a personal level. And we're talking about things that eventually will make you more effective and benefit your very well-being. When we're talking about urgent tasks are things that require your immediate attention. And in most cases, those things that require your immediate attention will benefit somebody else's goal. Now, urgent tasks often will have deadlines involved. And because there are deadlines that are involved, you need to work as quickly as you can. And in the busyness, you might turn out to be a very effective person. Now, the consequence of not dealing with urgent things are almost immediate. Like you have a due date to pay a bill, you don't pay it, you know what that means automatically. Now, urgent tasks, things that are urgent, will make you very efficient, but important things will make you very effective. Now, I've defined effectiveness and efficiency in the past. You are efficient when you do all things right. So we're saying that whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're looking at, you tend to want to do it. So, and you do a lot of things all at the same time. So everything that passes in front of you, you want to deal with it. And because you're dealing with so many things, you become like an efficient person. When somebody sees you, they say, oh, wow, that guy is very busy. Now, at the end of the day, there's a high probability that you'll be sapped, you'll be tired and drained. And when you look back, that what have I even achieved today? Why am I so tired? You can't really hold on to anything that I started this and I completed this. So somehow you just feel something is wrong. Now, the problem with this is that efficient people have a tendency of feeling personal frustration and resentment towards other people and even themselves because they were not able to accomplish or point to some that this one I did, busy, too many things they're doing. Now, for an effective person, effectiveness means doing all the right things. So while efficiency is doing all things right, effectiveness is talking about doing the right things. So that means you pay attention only to the things that improve your well-being, that makes you happy, that gives you a sense of fulfillment, that makes you productive. Now, it's not everything that comes your way that requires your attention. It's not everybody that drives on the road, crazy or good, that you need to talk about. It's not everything that flashes in front of you on TV or radio that you need to pass a comment on. Now, effective people will focus on the one that goes well for them. Now, efficient people are more concerned about other people's thoughts, words, and action towards them because they're busy doing too many things. It's what you think, what you say, what you do to them, they're more concerned about. So their outlook is like to please others, while effective people are concerned about what they are thinking about themselves, what they're saying to themselves, and what they're doing to themselves. Remember, efficiency most likely is doing something to accomplish some other person's goal immediately. But effectiveness is talking about you as a person. So effective people are like producers, while efficient people are like consumers. Efficient people are always talking about what comes to them, while effective people are talking about what goes out from them. Now, when you focus on important tasks within the day, you operate in what I call a responsive mode. What do you mean by being responsive? We're saying that when things happen during the day, because you're focused, you respond to things that happen, and you will find yourself always calm, rational. You're open to new ideas and new opportunities, because in your mind is, how can I be better? What can I do better? But for an efficient person, because it's into many things all over the place, The focus is will always be on a reactive mode. Now, because they're trying to do all things right, one criticism will keep them down. So an efficient person, though busy, is in a reactive mode. Therefore, they're in a defensive mode. And they're always hurried and they're narrowly minded. But there's nothing wrong with that because it's good to be efficient. Now, this is the irony. You and I, because in every day we have things that are important and things that are urgent, we spend about 75% of our time on things that are urgent and about 25% of our time on things that are particularly effective. Now, you and I, or probably some of us, we've traded the whole idea of being effective for efficiency. Busy, 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 busy. Now, when you turn your attention away from things that make you productive, that build you up and make you better, there's every likelihood you'll be a jack of all trade and the master of none. Now, where did I come about the statistics of 75% and 25%? When you look at the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus spoke about the same concept about how your daily task goes. The waysiders will be those time that is not productive. Nothing happens. They're time wasters. It doesn't add any value to you or take it. It's just time wasted. When we talk about the ones that fell on hard ground, we're talking that even though it has an element of productivity, but it cannot be sustained for long. Before you know it, you get tired, you get pissed off, and you just stop suddenly. And then when we're talking about the ones that fell among thorns, we're saying when you spend your time in serving other people's opinion and thoughts, want to be pleasing to everyone, every corner you turn, you want to fall in love, want everybody to praise you and say, yeah, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, and never say you're bad. Because you're so much into what other people have to say, eventually it might make you just useless. And then the remaining 25% is through patience and understanding you're able to bring about usefulness and effectiveness in your time. You see, in every relationship, efficient people, because they're very busy, right, will spend time with their loved ones when they are free, because they're busy and they're efficient. Yeah? So the only time they find time to spend with the ones they care about is only when they are free. But effective people will always free up time to be and to care for their loved ones. So while those who are efficient appear to be busy with many things, whoever sees them from afar, that guy is very busy. No. That time is spent in trying to do something for somebody else. And I didn't say anything was wrong with that. But 75% of our time, and think about it during the day, are you doing things that will build you up? Or you're doing things that will build something else up? It's something that we need to think about. Efficient people focus on urgent tasks. Now, what do you have to do now? What do I do to make you smile? What do I make you to sit down? What do I do? Everything is just now. But effective people are focused on important tasks. Now, to know the difference between what is efficient, what's urgent and important, can only be determined by you. I can tell you what's important and what's urgent, but you can know what is important and what is urgent. And only you can make that decision by yourself. This is a time to prioritize your activities with who and what. Invest your time wisely. Allocate time appropriately for the things that are urgent and the things that are important. What advantage will it be to you if you're so busy with everything that comes your way, with everyone that breezes past you, but you lose or you become irrelevant to the people that really matter in your life? Of what use is it if you want everybody to fall in love with you because you're so busy doing what you're doing? That person is Jim Jim. At the expense of those who really care about you. In the book of Luke, I believe, chapter 9, verse 25, Jesus said, "What is the advantage for a man to gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? Of what advantage is it that you're so busy trying to make money, trying to do this, trying to do that, but meanwhile, the people and the things that really matter, you live alone?" You see, Jesus, in the scripture we just read, was talking about renewal of mind, saying that do not be anxious about urgent tasks of food, of drink, of what shall we put on in order to stay alive. But he's saying that how about the things that are really important? How about focusing on what is important? How about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and this all other urgent things? Because he said, the Father knows that you have need of those things anyway. But he said, why not focus on the things that develop you? Why not focus on the things that make you happy? Why not focus on the things that make you a better human being? Why are you so focused in competing with the next person? Why are you so focused on wanting to be better or you feel less than the next person rather than you trying to improve yourself? Can you imagine the beauty if you can spend 75% of your time on things that improve you and 25% on things that are urgent? Do you know that the things that we call urgent, if you plan yourself, it won't be urgent anymore? You know you have a deadline for Monday. Why are you beginning to do it on Sunday? So there are things that are urgent. Yes, I know. And we cannot deny that fact. But it's called proper time management. Only you can decide what is urgent. Only you can decide what is important in your life. And this morning, even as we begin to pray, I want you to, in your own mind, because we're talking about renewal of the mind, that what is it that is really top urgent? What is it that is really important to me? Is it every time I hear a ping on my phone, I want to check who is pinging? Or you use that phone to make something work? Watching the television, I'm not going to tell you don't watch TV. You can watch TV. But ask yourself, the program I'm watching on TV, does it develop me? Does it make my well-being better? Dustin and I would love watching Law and Order. But after a while, I stopped watching because I just felt that each time I watch Law and Order, SVU, all I hear about is rape in New York, rape in New York. I said, this is not even helping me. I'm tired of listening to this thing. She loves watching investigative TV, and I watch it too. But after a while, all I see is just murder, murder, and more murder. I said, no, it can't just be like this every time. So let me watch other things. Then I start watching silly movies like True TV, where people are doing crazy things. Why do I watch it? It just calms me down. I can sleep with that because it doesn't make any sense. Now, for me, it's important to calm me down because it's just nothing. So all I'm saying, you determine what's important. You determine what is urgent. Do you use the tool in your hand, your computer, your tablet, to search for things to improve your well-being, or you use it only for social media and gossip? Do you use it as a tool to improve your educational and skill standard? Or do you use it for something else? All of these things are the things you need to determine. Are you more interested in what people will say about you? Therefore, you keep on shifting like a jelly so that you can be pleasing in their sight. Or are you doing things that will make you a person better? We need to pray for recognition. And in prayer for recognition, you need to turn on the light on yourself first. You see, the test of being efficient or effective lies with you as an individual. And what do I mean by this? You see, it's in the time of crisis, in the time of failure, that you will know if you're an effective person or efficient person. And how do you know? When things fail, do you react to the failure or you respond to it? You see, when you keep laboring for what you care about, even though it appears to be failing, but you keep laboring, trying new ideas, it's called having passion. When you're laboring for something you don't really care about, but you're only doing it to appear good to some other people, you are going through what we call stress. Too many people are stressed out today because you want to appear good to all. Perfectionists are always in the state of stress because they believe everything they do must be on point. I'm not saying don't strive for perfection, but you know what? It's okay to make a mistake. Yeah, it's okay. You can make a mistake. I dare even say, when man created made a mistake, God didn't give up on man. He gave us Jesus Christ. And that's what you and I are benefiting from today. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to fail. Guess what? It's okay not to have the answer. But when you bring yourself to the place of stressful living, wanting to be on point in everything, wanting to be perfect in every way, you're just an efficient person, but you're not necessarily effective. When you're focused on the things that improve you, you're saying, what is in me that will make those around me benefit better? Then you're ready for it. You see, in closing, before we begin to pray, each one of us have four sets of people around you at all times. How many set of people I say?
Four.
But in recognizing them, you know how to deal with each one, knowing that they're in your life not to tear you down, but rather to build you up. Because you will understand that God makes all things, how many things? All things work together for your good. But the moment you know what they stand for, or what those things stand for, you begin to function the way God wants you to function. Now, I said there are four types of people we have around you at all times. And guess what? They're not your enemies either. They are not your enemies. The first set of people that you have around you are those who are into you. What did I say about them? They are into you. The second set are those who are into what you are into. In other words, what you're doing is what they would love to do, so therefore they're with you. The third set are those who are against what you are against. In other words, what you don't want, they don't want equally. Your enemy is their enemy. Therefore, they're with you. And the last set are those who are totally against you. So the first set, they're into you. The second set, they're into what you are into. The third set, they're against what you are against. And the fourth set, they're totally against you. Now, the last one, don't worry about that one. They're doing their job. You can't please everybody. Right? Are you with me? Anything you do, they're against you. When you say it's blue, they say no, it's red. When you say it's up, they say no, it's under. So anything they're opposing, that's okay. That's their job. Don't worry yourself about those ones. So we leave those ones aside. But when we're talking about those who are into you, I called it before, those who are committed to you. When you're up, they're up there with you. When you're down, they drag you back up. When they know nothing to do, they'll sit down with you and cry with you. What you have or what you don't have does not matter to them. It's just you. Where you go, they want to go. They're into you. If you find that in your life, you are so blessed. Now, those who are into what you are into because you share a common goal, they will be hanging around you. But the mistake often that we make is that those who are into what you are into, the moment they leave you because they found somebody or something else that will advance where they're going, you feel down because they've left you. But you know what? Their job is over in your life. That's why they had to go. They finished their job in your life. Let them go. New ones will come. To me, the ones that are most dangerous are the ones that are against what you are against. Because the moment you repent and say, no, this is not what God wants me to do, because you are no longer against what they are against, guess what? They are going to be against you. Because they know some tricks. But all that doesn't matter. It's part of life. Think about Jesus. There were those who were into him. There were those who were for what he was doing. There were those who were there against what he was against. And of course, there were those who were against him. But when the chips were down, everybody disappeared. So what am I saying today for today's prayer? We're talking about recognition. When you're able to know the difference between all of these factors, you will now begin to walk in effectiveness and not longer efficiency. Too many people are laboring. But today I've come to say to you, your labor shall not be in vain in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus made an invitation, which I'm equally making this morning. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What will I do? I will give you rest. You shall find rest in him today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm pleading with you, by the mercies of God, my brothers and my sisters, the time has come for you to stop walking like an elephant and eating like a rat. It's time for you to focus your attention on the things that will build you up and make you relevant to those who are around you. It's time for you to begin to intentionally and purposefully, same words, to choose what you want for yourself. No, you can't keep on listening to it's impossible when some are making it happen. No, you can't keep on saying that because it happened to your forefathers, it's going to happen to you and your grandchildren. No. I've told you here in this church, and I'll say it again today. Because it is written that every handwriting of ordinances against you and I has been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Everything you've been told, everything that you believe, everything that you feel is a generational curse in your life has been blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You are aligning with the blessings that come in Christ Jesus now. That it happened to them does not mean it has to happen to you. And if it happens to you, you can declare and decree, the buck stops with me. And God will say, yes, because you understand. And this is where I want you to begin to elevate your thinking and focus on what is important. Are you spending your money on things just to look good on the outside when inside of you is broken down? Are you trying to portray who you are not when inside in your mind is so totally messed up? I have a friend in the house here who suddenly is no longer on social media. And I said, why? I said, it doesn't add any value to my life. I said, that's true. Because most of the people on social media, do you think they are saying the truth? They only show you what is good. Rarely do they show you what is bad. They'll tell you who hurt them, who did what, put on fine clothes. I said, that person is settled. Before we came here, when you see pictures of those who are here, they go to car lot and pose with a car. I said, these guys are right, bro. And when you get here, where's the car? Oh, boy, forget that one. Oh, you know about it. We have to live a real life. Where we are today, it's time for us to make choices. And I'm praying you to begin to make good choices. You will determine what's important to you. You will determine what's urgent to you. I'm not asking you to drop the urgent things. No, no, no. Spend less time on the urgent stuff. Spend quality time on the important things. Work, family. You need to determine which one is important to you. I'm not going to tell you, but you can choose. Is it your job or your family. You will determine which one is important. And whichever one is important, you spend more time with. But remember, you are free to choose whatever you want. But you're not free from the consequences of your choice. You're free to choose whatever you want, but you're not free from the consequence of your choice. This morning, we want to pray for recognition. And praying for recognition, simply asking God for specific things. One of the prayers I've been praying for years, and in a way I realize actually helping me, which I'm going to recite here also, is that I say, Lord, I am as you have created me. I am your son eternally. I do not know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I do not know where to go. But I trust that you will guide me to where I need to be. It's just a simple prayer I pray for myself that has been helping me, because many times I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go, but I trust that the shepherd of my soul will guide me. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 says, commit your ways unto the Lord and shall direct your path. This morning, if there's anybody that's feeling like me, that's simply saying, God, you know me better than I know myself. You know where I should go. You know what I should say. You know what I should do. I need you to guide me. I want you to just, for a moment, just bow down your heads and repeat after me. I am as you have created me. I am your son eternally. If you're a daughter, please say daughter. I am your child eternally. I do not know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But I trust that you will guide me. If there's any area in there for you, why not just begin to talk to God now for a moment? Why not just ask him seriously? Except you know